Hello, thank you for joining me. This is Ernestine Lyons, host of Quick to Politic, the podcast, the social commentary show that explores topics ranging from social justice to history, economics, small business, and of course, local and national politics. Thank you for joining me.
Have you been doing your show?
So it's officially been a year.
Oh, wonderful.
I started doing this last year I was like, I'm coming out with a podcast, and then 2019, and then it was hard to coordinate with people in real life and then actually get all the equipment and stuff. But then during the pandemic, it was really easy to have Zoom conversations. March 2020, I started
what increased, I think, the quantity of podcasts being conducted is because we were all craving connection and interaction.
Exactly.
It's someone new to talk to that we don't live with.
Right. Everything was so isolated, but yeah, we're now live.
Right.
And so thank you out there, all of you out there in cyberspace. We are live. This is Quick to Politic. I'm your host, Ernestine Lyons, and I have a very special guest here, Robin Kenny of Motor City Woman Podcast. She is here to talk with us about the art of podcasting and telling stories of women. And, you know, she's just an all around phenomenal woman. She's a mom, she's a wife, she's all of these wonderful things and a business owner. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, Robin.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Ernestine. First and foremost, I love to see people utilizing their platform to make connections and have all these conversations. I am born and raised here in Detroit, and my life and background is the stereotypical Black family. My grandfather moved up here from Alabama during the Great Migration in the 1940s, got a job at Ford, retired from Ford, pretty basic middle class family. After graduating from Michigan State with both an undergraduate and then a master's degree, I worked for Michigan State for a while, but then moved back to Detroit. I was homesick and just really fell in love with entrepreneurship and the small business community in general. And that was my career until I began Motor City Woman Studios back in 2015.
That is awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. I didn't know that you had left and then you came back. And I feel like there's always some pull to, you know, bring people back to the Metro Detroit area and, you know, just kind of like be closer to family. And then also it's something unique about, you know, kind of being that big fish here where, you know, everywhere else, it's like you can be a small fish in a big old pond, but then here you can be a big fish in a small pond. And kind of have that experience, which brings me to like entrepreneurship. So tell us how much of, you know, your business model ended up having to shift and pivot during the pandemic, because Motor City Woman Studios, they were like, you come there. And I remember the first time I even found out who you are, what you do. It was Le Petit Déjeuner. They had like this whole session where Motor City Woman was there on Sundays or something like that. And there were different people who were live right there, you know, on the spot doing their thing. So I just think that was kind of cool to have like these in-person interactions, and that, you know, the art of podcasting in itself is, you know, being with somebody in a studio in my experience. So how much of that had to shift, and what has that shift been like for you pivoting?
All of it had to shift. And the event that you're recalling was part of the Detroit Podcast Festival. One of the days we were able to lead a session featuring women podcasters. And, you know, so we've been grateful to support the Detroit Podcast Festival for the past few years. And of course this year, or 2020, it was virtual, but what you saw being in person and having like a live podcast, it really was a precursor for where I think the direction of podcast is going. But over the last year, we had to pivot just like every other small brick and mortar business. We were not only accustomed to people coming to the studio to utilize our services, but that was our main revenue driver. So in April, you know, we got to work with brainstorming what are some other ways that we can create and sustain our business with revenue and diversify our revenue streams. But also, and more importantly, we wanted to make sure that we could continue to support podcasters. And what does that look like if I can't be in the same room with you? How can I still support the creation of podcasts, the support of a growing podcast? And so although the last year has been more than challenging, I will say if it wasn't for this last year, I probably would have been forced to be creative and to put out more products and digital products specifically to support podcasters nationwide.
Awesome. Awesome. Sorry for the delay there. I don't know. It's just like, you know, trying to get, I don't know. I think Zoom needed to, you know, change like mute because I'm trying to like in the background and all that fun. Because like I said, I'm on the condenser microphone, which picks up every truck.
Everything. Exactly.
So I kind of wanted to, you know, ask a little bit more about, you know, the mission of Motor City Woman being to amplify voices of underrepresented groups and in the broadcasting industry. You know, you guys use the tagline that we produce media that matters. Tell us the why behind your mission and, you know, what's in store for the future of underrepresented voices, because they're kind of having a moment right now. I think that, you know, 2020, what we got out of that was this need to, you know, really pay attention to the things that matter, including like healthcare and better infrastructure and, you know, making sure that we're able to mobilize when it comes to, you know, advocating for, you know, more research around, you know, vaccines and, you know, also, you know, just contact tracing and things of that nature. So, you know, but then at the same time, we were listening to voices that have, you know, long been marginalized. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about, you know, the past, the present, the future when it comes to underrepresented voices.
Well, the Motor City Woman story starts many years ago. Growing up in Detroit, I listened to Martha Jean McQueen, who was not only a radio broadcaster, but she owned a radio station. And my mother listened to her, and I was in the back seat of her red Ford Tempo. So I listened to her every single day. And at that time, and even now, it's very rare for not only a woman, but a woman of color to be leading her own show. No co-host, you know, she's just not brought in for special segments, but also owning the station. Because when you own the station, then you can create content that speaks to your people and the things that you're passionate about. So I like to say that the seed was planted very early on of, gosh, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have shows that are considered for women, or these are just women's shows when we talk about women's issues, but that we have shows hosted by women, but if from a woman's perspective on all issues. And I saw that as the difference. And although I never looked at what I'm doing now as a career path, I've always had a love for talk radio. And even after Martha Jean McQueen Steinberg passed away, I found old recordings of her on YouTube, and I would listen to them. And it was just captivating for me. After I moved back to Detroit, had my career in entrepreneurship and helping other people start their own businesses. And that's what's so interesting. You know, I fell in love with helping other people start a business. And when the entrepreneur bug hit me, it was all about, gosh, how can we amplify the voices of those that aren't on the radio? Because I still love talk radio, but it was so difficult to find a radio show that spoke to the issues that not only I cared about, but that were hosted by women who I could identify with. That was a very real challenge. And I knew that when we started this journey, that was what I want our mission to be, was to amplify those voices, because we don't have a lack of talent and a lack of women who could do the job. We really at that time had a lack of resources and spaces in which they could do them.
Right. And that's definitely admirable work, because, you know, it does take trailblazers, you know, like Martha Jean, the queen. And I remember hearing about, I never heard her show, but I remember.
Now you must go on YouTube, please. Right.
Exactly.
Promise
my
me.
Grandmother, my mom, you know, they all like, oh yeah, Martha Jean, the queen.
She was it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was it. She would interview everyone who, you know, ranging from the mayor to the person who just lived on the block and was a community activist. And she was revered, but she was also respected. And there was no one else like her.
Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, I feel like this has been a theme in the last maybe two shows where we talked about, you know, podcasting being this thing that, you know, is the new avenue for listening to radio, because, you know, people listen to talk radio shows, but, you know, they don't really necessarily have that same heart hitting, because everybody's owned by iHeartRadio, or you've got these big conglomerates and you're mm-hmm. limited as to, you know, what you can actually say. So that's why you see, and in particular, like political podcasts that are, you know, on the rise, because, you know, people are able to have, you know, a conversation, a candid right. conversation. And right. I don't know, this is something that me being the kind of politician where like this talk show or this podcast isn't necessarily about, you know, my specific city, but it is about having conversations with folks on political issues. So I do think that, you know, in some ways being able to have conversations, candid ones, about policy and about, you know, what we can do to, you know, get out the word about different issues and mobilize people. And I think that's something that social media and also influencers and, you know, they're able to do, you know, using this medium. And, you know, I know you were a guest on Senator Adam Ollier's podcast, Like We Can Do Better. And you had kind of talked a little bit about, you know, just kind of being, you know, somebody who, you know, using an avenue or a medium that can really push for better, push for, you know, just changes. And so, you know, where do you see like the kind of future of content consumption with, you know, hitting more niche demographics? And you mentioned Martha Jean, the queen, being able to, you know, bring in community leaders and bring in people to have that one-on-one conversation. Like, has this been the case for you and your clients? You're able to, you know, really be able to push for those really thought-provoking conversations, or those ones that are really controversial? And, you know, just tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on how this particular medium can be, you know, that source for change and mobilizing things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I love about podcasting is, well, one of the things I love about podcasting is that you can be super specific. And I think that that's what the audience wants. They want to be able to go into Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts and put in a subject that they're interested in learning more about, or a term that they're interested in learning more about, or a person that they're interested in learning about, and seeing all of the various podcasts that matches with that search. And I just think that's, it's amazing, because it gives voice to things. And there's an intimacy in sound. And I think that's another reason why podcasting took off as it has, is first of all, it's a low barrier of entry. You know, you get your setup, you know, connect to an RSS feed, and you're off and running. No longer do you have to go through, you know, like an FCC or like you mentioned, iHeart. You can do it from, I'm at my dining room table. You hear my son in the background. you know, so the low barrier of entry makes it more accessible for more people to be involved with podcasting and reach, quite frankly, a global audience. And I really do think that that's the direction that we're going in, where you have that niche where you'll say, I only want to talk about Star Wars. Everything Star Wars I'm going to talk about. And there is an audience out there waiting.
Audience for that. I know, like, that would be something I would listen to, because I'm
Oh my gosh. There's an audience for everything, is what I found. And so our clients, they span a whole host of topics. We have, you know, authors that are podcasters, so they're talking about themes related to their book. We have mental health therapists that's interviewing people about, quite frankly, the challenges over this last year in mental health. So these are conversations that typically would only be had in like a small group, but now with a podcast, you can record it, and someone that maybe isn't ready to schedule an appointment with a therapist can listen in and be a fly on the wall and say, hey, you know, these tips really helped me get through, you know, a challenging time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, oh my gosh, I have a podcaster who joined us. Shout out to, oh my gosh, please drop the name of your podcast, Chris, into the chat so I can shout you out. So what advice would you give to folks who are, you know, starting out, like to make sure that, you know, you're finding your niche, you're finding your audience, and you're able to really be impactful with the storytelling that you do and, you know, the voice that you're trying to reach to tell those stories. Mm-hmm. So what do we need to know about giving this a go and then being consistent?
Well, when we're working with podcasters, my first question is typically, what is your why? What are you doing this for? Because if it's just to hear yourself talk, then, you know, you're going to be flushing money down the toilet. Like, you just, you know, you just want a sounding board. But I think when you focus on that why, and you kind of use that as the nucleus, that's going to make it much easier to find an audience, know what topics you're going to talk about, you know, identify guests, because everything should tie back to your why. So that's the first step when we're working with aspiring podcasters, is what is your why? Who do you want to help? And it doesn't have to be like this big philosophical, oh, you know, I'm going to change the way people view whatever. It can be, I want to make people smile. I want to make people laugh with my stories of my family life, or, you know, whatever. But focus on that why and identify what that why is and who does it help.
Okay. That definitely makes sense. Because, you know, yeah, you really want to be able to figure out, like, okay, well, I found my cadence. I found, you know, the thing that we want to explore every episode. And, right, you know, I think that's something that, you know, it is accessible. It is something you try and then you go back to the drawing board, and that's the name of it. My friend Chris said, you know, he's going to have a Star Wars episode of Chris Cross Corner. He's also an urban planner. So
wonderful.
Yep. Shout out to that. But, you know, being able to make sure that, you know, you're coming across to, you know, so tell us also a little bit more about, like, the branding. How do you get to, you know, finding out, like, that same path, like, when it comes to getting out there and reaching people, getting out there and reaching the voices that want to, you know, explore the concepts and mm-hmm. the topics that, you know, you also, you know, advocate for as a podcaster, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of our number one questions, is growing your audience. So you can say, hey, you know, I have 5 episodes out there and it's just been me and my mama listening to them. What am I missing something? Because right. This is great content and no one's listening. Well, one of the reasons is a lot of podcasters go in reverse. They start a podcast and they look for an audience. You should first identify your audience, then start a podcast. And although a lot of people don't talk about email when they talk about marketing, everyone wants to jump right to social media. Email marketing is still the number one way to reach a targeted audience. So if, let's say, let's go back to the Star Wars example. If you found where, you know, you have maybe a landing page that says Star Wars podcast coming soon, start collecting email addresses. Start getting active in groups, meetups related to the theme of your podcast and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm working on. Drop your email on our site and you'll be the first to find out when we launch. Because once you start collecting those emails, those are the first people who will, you know, be your first listeners. And typically when something is good, people share it. So let's say they're on the Star Wars Facebook group and they're like, oh, they were just talking about this on the Star Wars podcast. And people are like, what? Tell me more. You know, and it goes, right. And goes.
Like, wait, where is this thing? And let
yeah,
me
I'm like, really? Take it.
Right. I didn't know Eric Thomas, the motivational speaker, you know, he has a podcast and I'm a fan of his YouTube videos that talk about motivation and
yes, you know, I listened to his podcast before I saw his YouTube videos.
Right. Right. And so, you know, I started listening to the podcast and like you were saying, it is like more nuanced. I know they were talking about, I had this for breakfast and, you know, then they kind of delve into a little bit more of the motivational kind of conversations. Right. And I'm just like, wait a minute, this is actually kind of interesting, but you know, it's kind of like seeing another side of somebody and, you know, just really getting in. And I think that's why people stick with, you know, certain things. And that kind of transitions into another question I had, because I know a lot of folks, you know, like my friend Charlotte, who, you know, has a live series. And, you know, so how do folks who just do things like lives as opposed to podcasting and have that kind of rapport on either lives on Instagram, lives on Facebook, how do you build with the same kind of following? Is it going to be the same kind of like advice or methodologies for, you know, making sure that you are growing your following or finding your voice and telling the stories when you're just, you know, going live on, you know, social media versus, you know, a podcast and lives and things of that nature?
I think the recipe is the same, you know, identifying who your audience is and who you want to help, finding out where they hang out, you know, if it is social media, identifying key hashtags or key accounts to engage with. One of the mistakes that I think a lot of people who want to grow their audience do is they may find the Facebook group that is related to their theme, and that's all they're doing is pitching their show all the time. Hey, I got a show about that. Here's my show. Here's the show. This is what we're talking about this week. No one likes to be sold to all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I recommend being part of the conversation. So you found a group that's related to your podcast. Maybe in the comments, you know, mention, oh, we were just talking about this and we said this, and maybe not even tagging the podcast initially, but more so starting the conversation and engaging with people, you know, because I know for a lot of Facebook groups, if you promote too much, you know, people are going to report you as spam and then you're out. And you don't want to get that reputation of the only time I hear from her is when she's trying to get me to do something instead of trying to help me with something.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, that's definitely, you know, a fascinating, it's kind of fascinating how fast all of this has grown. You know, I remember when live became a thing and, you know, I don't know if people realized, you know, how to actually use it and what, and so you found that people were kind of going live all the time, but I do think that it can be a powerful means of, you know, getting out there and telling the stories that are important to tell. And I know that, you know, as far as, you know, trying to advocate for more policy and advocate for more inclusion with the community, for, you know, trying to get buy-in for different, you know, initiatives that even I'm working on, I think I need to be better at, you know, going live, having the inviting people in and sitting there and then just talking about those kind of issues, which is a little like, I feel like it doesn't have structure, it doesn't have play rules or like a playbook for like, okay, and using politics and using, you know, these mediums to really engage with, you know, not only constituents, but neighbors and friends and people who, you know, you want to have these conversations with. So I definitely think that it can be challenging, but, you know, that's one of my last questions, you know, using this medium for storytelling and conveying more in-depth news. What has been your experience and the experiences of those, you know, those of your clients with, you know, Motor City Woman podcast studios? And so, you know, tell us a little bit more about how you can, you know, tell the in-depth stories and really perfect the art of storytelling.
Well, over the years, and in podcasting, although it may be new to some, podcasting has been out, I would say, since the late 80s. It was just in a different format, and it wasn't that accessible. So the whole back history of podcasting came with the iPod. So basically, you know, a guy, I can't remember his name, figured out how to create an RSS feed, you know, from, you know, his computer, record his information, and people be able to play it on an iPod. And so that's really the core of the name. It came from a combination of broadcasting and iPod. And then they took the pod and they took the cast. And so that was podcasting. So over the years, it was more informal conversations of this is what I have for breakfast and a day of my life. But I've really seen it evolve, and especially over the last 2 to 3 years, when you have like NPR, which I'm a huge fan of. I listen to a lot of NPR produced podcasts. When you have ABC News that has a podcast.
Right.
And, you know, and I think the way that they're utilizing it is they're taking their broadcast, which they would have anyway, and being able to share it so that it's on demand, because everyone can't catch the news at 7 o'clock. However, if they've subscribed to the podcast, they can listen to it at their leisure.
When they're driving.
You know? Right, exactly. So I think that's how it's used, what I'm seeing from a news standpoint. But the podcasting genre in general is all over the place. You know, you have monologue, you have storytelling, you have comedic. The traditional one is the one-on-one with the host and a guest, but that's not all of them. You know, one of my daughters, she enjoys a podcast that's based off of a book series called The Dork Diaries. And they just made it into a podcast. And again, what makes podcasting so accessible, and I think what has lent itself to the rise of it, is that it's on demand, you know, because we're right now what I call the microwave age, where we want everything when we want it. We don't want you to tell me when I want it. I want it right now, and I want it dropped on my doorstep.
Right.
So that's how podcasting is. And I think that's why it has gone to so many different genres, like you said, you know, the news, storytelling, performances, comedic, right. And I think it's going to continue to grow.
And that's another thing I kind of wanted to, you know, ask a question, like, do you think it's fair that, you know, I noticed so many famous people, like you mentioned ABC News, like people like Michelle Obama will have podcasts, and, you know, Chrissy Teigen, and now, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And it's just, sometimes I think that because this is so accessible, that when little people do it, it's a means of, you know, empowering people. But I think when you get big celebrities and big studios, you know, doing a podcast, it's, you know, do you think that that's not fair? Or do you think it's also just like you said a little bit of, and maybe this is the answer, is like, it's putting accessibility in the hands of people so that, you know, they don't have to be beholden to, I have to tune in at 7 or go back to Peacock or Netflix or wherever and find this thing, you know, instead it's, you know, I'll just take it with me because I'm interested in the content that, you know, say Oprah, I think she also has a podcast, or, you know, Michelle Obama, you know, Prince Harry, all these folks, you know, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. Mm-hmm. But do you also think it takes away from, you know, local, mm-hmm. you know, or more nuanced, smaller podcasters? Or do you think it's just like, it's all fair because it's very niche. Yeah. And if they want to, you know, listen to your Star Wars podcast versus the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle podcast, then that, you're going to find that. And that's for you. And that's, right. you know, your audience,
right.
Your thoughts. Yeah. And that's one of our last questions.
Well, I think celebrities and PR companies are going to look for opportunities to get their clients in front of as many people as possible. So it was a natural transition to see more celebrity podcasts being put out there. But I like to look at podcasts as a great equalizer. Right. So the podcast that I'm doing at my kitchen table is on the same platform as the podcast produced for Michelle Obama. Like, how crazy is that?
That is. Yeah. If we think about it, they're all, you can all find them on Spotify.
Right. Podcasts. So it's the great equalizer. There's no one saying, oh, this podcast is better. I'm going to pitch you this podcast. I'm paying the same amount of money, you know, to be on a hosting platform. So it's like, you can look at it either way. Yes, you have more celebrities in it, but I really don't think that it's pushing down regular people who want to podcast. I think if anything is raising the profile, because then, you know, there's more people going to listen to podcasts and hopefully they'll stumble upon yours.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for enlightening us and dropping your knowledge and telling your story. And, you know, I love that you celebrate elevating stories and, you know, doing the work that you do to, you know, bring accessibility to, you know, this kind of newish genre, you know, or at least the term, you know, of course, a broadcast has been around for a while. And, you know, it's all about, you know, who has the access to the accessibility.
Right.
And, you know, so it's definitely going to be fun watching the journey of, you know, who's out here telling stories, who's controlling the narrative, and, you know, watch that be able to be shaped into uplifting marginalized voices. And
yeah, I thought it was really funny as we were heading into the pandemic. I think at that stage we had probably 500,000 podcasts registered on Apple Podcasts. Like by mid-July, we had crossed the 1 million mark. So that says a couple of things. That says that people were at home and they were like, you know what? I'm going to start that podcast.
But I've been saying since November of 2019 that I'm going to.
Right.
I was one of them. Hey,
so. I'm going to order. And I remember there was a microphone that I wanted a client to purchase and they were all out of stock.
Right. So, like, I think I wanted the Blue Yeti instead. I got this condenser microphone here. And
I love it. I really do love to see it. And, you know, some people say, oh my gosh, everyone's starting a podcast. But I think it'll have the same life cycle as like the blog. Everyone was starting a blog. But the cream rises to the top. So you'll have podcasts out there and maybe you won't have the people who were just doing it because they were bored or, you know, they really didn't have any content or they really didn't have a concrete why. And we'll still have those people, you know, podcasting, which I'm really looking forward to, you know, to witnessing the continued evolution of it.
All right. All right. Well, I want to thank you for, you know, being a part of, you know, this episode today and, you know, just talking about the medium in general and, you know, also telling stories of, you know, folks who want to be heard, who need to be heard. And, you know, then just talking about the future and the evolution. And, you know, I'm going to continue. Where can we find you on social media? One. And I hope you continue to, you know, to do great things because like your marketing is on fire.
Thank you. And I love we appreciate that. We're actually in the process of opening up a second location in Midtown. And that will be a teaching recording studio. So what that means is people will be able to take audio engineering classes and learn about mixing and mastering and music. And so that's what we're really super excited about right now. We're looking at a late spring soft opening for that. That will be it's called the Audio Engineers of Detroit. So we'll be hopefully, you know, well, we will be creating jobs for Detroiters and also being able to tap into a lot of career fields. So we're really excited about that. And again, that addresses another lack of representation within the audio engineering industry that we witnessed. For more information about Motor City Woman, we're at Motor City Woman on all platforms, and you can actually purchase our
Product placement. You can purchase. I love it. Love it. Yes.
Our Motor City Woman planner for new podcasters. It has everything from setting your intentions for the month to a punch list. So these are actually things that I've worked with clients over the years so that you can keep that podcast growing and thriving. And for more information, you can just go to motorcitywoman.com.
All right. I used a smaller, like, I think you had like a PDF, like a free PDF or something online of that same kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's a page that we did a freebie of the social media strategy. Yeah, that's in here. That was kind of a preview of the, it's in here somewhere, of the entire thing.
Right. But I mean, this is amazing. So yes, go out there and, you know, connect with Robin, listen to, you know, all of the podcasts that are available through Motor City Woman, follow her on social media. And this is amazing. Amazing. And so
eventually,
you know, hopefully she will, keep expanding and maybe set up an expansion site in Harper Woods one day, you know, so. All right.
There's no limit. I put no limit on the direction that we're going. We just want to make sure that we continue in the whole impetus, and our why was amplifying underrepresented voices and producing media that matters.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being a part of Quick to Politic today. Thank you, everybody out there who joined us. And so this has been a really great conversation. And have a great one, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yay.
And I am ending the record.
I hope my kids weren't too loud.
No, not at all. Bye, everybody out there on Facebook and social media.